Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning, and what a tremendous blessing it's already been just being in this place. I trust that you feel the very same way. Sense the presence of God here, and trust that you're open to what God has for you now through the preaching of His Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 31, the very last chapter in the book of 1 Samuel. There's only 13 verses. We'll read verse 1 down to verse 13. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 31. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, 'Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when the armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. It came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, and all the valiant men arose, went all night, took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days." Well, let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, Lord, we thank you for the precious word that you have preserved for us, that we might know the very mind of God. Thank you for not only the New Testament, for the Old Testament and all the stories and all these biblical principles that are learned through them. And I pray this morning, God, as we have assembled here on this very special occasion, we thank you for it. But God, I pray that you would speak to us through this passage of Scripture, that as we understand this, that we would be able to be strengthened by it. I pray, God, that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that through the services, God, that you would speak to them concerning their need to be saved before they would leave this place today, they would get that settled. Work now in our midst. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, King Saul and the armies of Israel were shamefully defeated, as we've read here in the last chapter in the book of 1 Samuel. The Philistines would occupy the cities of Israel. Saul's armor would be on display in the house of the enemy's gods. Saul's body with his sons would be hung on the wall on display. What a terrible time for God's chosen people. As we study this and we read this passage of Scripture, this is the nation of Israel. This is God's chosen people of the Old Testament. This was the king of the most powerful nations when they were serving God and doing what God would have them to do. But at this particular time in history, a shameful experience, a shameful defeat for Saul, the armies of Israel, and for the testimony of God himself. What a shame. As we read this, you say, well, preacher, this is an exciting day. It's our 31st anniversary. Why are you reading something like that? Well, because I know the end of the story. And truly, after we've seen all that, then we look at verse 11 through 13. And this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, part of the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bashan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Jabesh-Gilead was the place that 40 years earlier, when Saul was anointed king of Israel, 40 years earlier, the very first act as king of Israel was to go to Jabesh-Gilead and deliver them from the Ammonites. And so we find here that now, after Saul's shameful defeat and the defeat of Israel, God records that it was men from Jabesh-Gilead that went to honor God's anointed. For it was a shame for God's anointed, the king of God's chosen people, to be put on display as he and his sons were. And these men of Jabesh-Gilead, they did something very honorable. They wanted to honor God. And by honoring God, they honored God's anointed and put their lives at risk and traveled all night long. And when they got there, they took the bodies down, honoring God's anointed. But right after that, they fasted 7 days. Wow. They honored God and fasted. Now, this is powerful. This concludes our month of prayer and fasting awareness, April. And I believe this right here, the message is so good for us today on this 31st anniversary, because what we learned from this is something that has strengthened this church for 31 years. The fact that we must honor God first of all. If his own church does not honor him and his will and his ways, what good are we? If we turn from honoring God and obeying his will and looking to his word and being the church that he has established, if we go our own direction and do whatever we want to do and have whatever kind of assembly that we want to have, what good are we? God established his church to represent him on this planet Earth. As a church, the most important thing that we can do is honor God. Now, we need to understand what it is to honor God. Jabesh-Gilead understood that it was not God's will that Saul would be dishonored and his sons would be dishonored. And they knew that if they had the opportunity, in order to honor God's anointed, it would mean to honor God. And that's where it began. realizing who we are, realizing exactly what God established as a Lighthouse Baptist Church, and the desire that we've had for 31 years, no matter what else we do, we have to put at the forefront of this church a desire to honor God. You honor your parents by respecting them and obeying them, turning out right. Something I preach to my children all the time. That was being raised. What can we do for you, Dad? What do you want? Honor God. Turn out right. Turn out right. If you turn out right, you've honored me. Because that's what I'm raising. I'm raising you to serve the Lord. I'm raising you to want to give your life to be used of God. And if you do that, then that is the most important thing in my life. That's the most important thing you can do for me, is to honor me by turning out right. Can I tell you, the most important thing that as a church can do for God in honoring Him is to just be what God established it to be. And they fasted 7 days. They prepared for deliverance, possibly like they did 40 years earlier. They were the children of God, and they were under the Ammonites. The Ammonites had come in because Israel was weak at this time before God anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. And the Ammonites were there, and they had controlled the city of Jabesh-Gilead. And we find here that 40 years earlier, as they looked to God, I believe they were looking to honor God then, and they were looking to fast then. And as they honored God and they fasted then, God sent Saul, and Saul came to them, and God delivered them from the Ammonites. And now they see themselves once again in the very same situation they were 40 years earlier. Now this time it's under the Philistines. And once again, they prepare for deliverance because they knew that their future was dependent upon their God. Amen. So they did what they knew that God would have them to do by honoring God's anointed. And then they just fasted for 7 days. They did this for a closer walk with God. Preacher, why should I fast? Why should I pray? Why should I honor God? Because God is God. And you need to, first of all, honor Him. And as you honor Him, one of the things that He tells us that we can do is pray and fast. See, fasting is an extension of prayer. But prayer, if you will, prayer was given to us in order for us to be able to communicate with God. As we communicate with God, we are in fellowship with God. Do you have certain people in your life that you just love whenever you have the opportunity and you make opportunities available to you just to be able to sit down with them and talk with them? Most children that have a loving and a parent that has raised them, most children, as you get older, you start better appreciating your mother and father, and you understand that they have great wisdom, and you want to be able to sit down and talk with them as you have opportunity to, because once you walk away from them, you're somewhat refreshed. You say, that's something that I need. I need my parent, because I know that if anybody loves me in this world, it's my mother, it's my father. And when I have an opportunity to sit down with them, and you appreciate it as we get older, you sit down with them and you glean from their wisdom and you glean from their love for you. And they'll help you by telling you the way it is. Amen. They're not going to try to sugarcoat it, and they're not going to try to put blinders on. They want you to, because they love you, they want to, sometimes it's tough love, but you need to hear the truth. Amen. And that's why God understood that, and that's why He tells us to honor our parents. He doesn't put an age limit on that. That's for a lifetime. Because He knows if you have godly parents, then they can be of help to you at some point. If you'll honor them, and by honoring them, you're honoring God. By obeying God, you're honoring Him. By doing what God wants you to do, you're honoring God. And so we find here that the first thing that they wanted to do, they wanted to draw closer to God, possibly as they did 40 years earlier. So they honored God by honoring God's servant, God's anointed. And then they looked to God through this prayer and fasting so that they could draw closer to God through this. Never forget, the prayer acknowledges our belief in God, and it will allow us to this opportunity to communicate with Him. If you don't pray, listen to me, then that tells you that you really don't believe in God. If you truly believe in God and He says, here's an opportunity for you to talk with me anytime you want to. If you knew who God was, the creator of all things, and this creator of all things has given you an open line to Him, if you believed in Him, you would use it. Amen. And so that opportunity, prayer is an opportunity to communicate with God. And as we use that, then God says that every now and then you might need to even draw closer to me. And as you draw closer to me, you want to extend something more than prayer. Then I've given you a tool of fasting, and the tool of fasting will help you to draw even closer to me. There's no doubt in my mind, one of the things that they did here in Jabesh-Gilead, they saw their conditions and they saw what happened to Saul. They saw what happened to the armies of Israel. And now they're looking to be under the Philistines' oppression. And so they honor God. And then they say, we need to draw closer to God because He is a solution to our problems. He is the answer that we're looking for. He is the one we need in our lives. And so they prepare to draw closer to God. And so they fasted 7 days. Jesus taught the very same thing. Look over to Luke in chapter 5 with me. Luke in chapter 5. The Pharisees were watching the disciples of the Lord and saying, you know, the disciples of John, they would fast. And our disciples, they fast. Your disciples don't fast. Are they not spiritual? What's going on? I love it because Jesus answers them. The Bible says, and they said unto Him, why do thy disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And He said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Can they get any closer to me than what they are right now? He's walking on the face, God Himself in man's flesh is walking on the face of the earth with His disciples. Can you have any closer fellowship with God than to physically walk with Him and hear Him speak to you and you speak to Him anytime because you're walking with Him? But He says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then shall they fast in those days. We're in those days. We're not able to physically walk with Him. We're not able to physically see Him with our naked eye. But if we desire that fellowship with Him, one of the things, the tools that He's given us, and He says they will at that day, they will fast. Because in fasting, it is a way to draw you closer to the awareness of the presence of God. I trust that many that have taken advantage of the prayer and fasting over this last month would have this testimony. I feel closer to God now because of prayer and fasting than what I did before I got into the month of April. As you started understanding the reason that you were fasting is so that you might be able to communicate with God and ask for a certain something to be done, a certain need that you had. You are more aware of God and you're more aware of prayer because of this idea of fasting. And if you're more aware of God, listen to me, then we will draw closer to God because that's my desire. Yeah. The men of Jabesh-Gilead, they said, all right, we're going to honor God and we're going to do what we know that God would have us to do. But as we honor God by honoring God's anointed, now we need to fast. We need a closer walk with God. Yeah, the way to do that, for a closer walk with God, take advantage of fasting. They did this to be able to seek God's next command. You see, they knew what God would have them to do in honoring God's anointed at that point when they heard what was taking place. It was in their mind. There's no doubt this is God's will for us. There's no doubt God would not have us if we have a chance to go to that place and to take his bodies off the wall and to take them down from being shamefully used by the enemy. Even if we have to put our own lives at risk, we are to do this, and we are to take those bodies down and burn them so that they can't abuse them any longer. By honoring God's anointed, they honored God. But then they said, we don't know what else to do. And by fasting, not only would they draw closer to God, but they were seeking God's next command. Amen. Sometimes you don't know what's next to do. You have a decision, something, you don't know what. Lord, what would you have me to do now? You pray about that, but listen to me, you can do something even more than pray. You can fast. Because it'll draw you closer to God. It'll help you to be more aware of God's direction in your life. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. After 1st, 2nd Chronicles, you find the book of Ezra. Israel was taken into captivity. After they spent their time in captivity, God now is allowing them to leave captivity and go back to Jerusalem, those who would want to do so. And Ezra was to lead those back into Jerusalem to reestablish the worship of God. Ezra was doing that. That was his leading this remnant back. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there. This is Ezra before the children of Israel. At the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right way for us. We're fasting to seek of him a right way for us. What should we do here? For our little ones and for our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. That's what they told the king. And so the king says, go in the power of God. How can we ask him for soldiers to help us if God is supposed to watch over us? And so they said, now what are we going to do? So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Amen. We find here this idea of fasting. Not only do we fast to be drawn closer to God, but we can fast to find what's next to do. After we've done what we know that God would have us to do, and we have a decision to make, and we have the next step to take. God, we're going to put ourselves at your disposal. We're going to pray and we're going to fast until you give us a direction for our lives. Amen. God has given us this tool. If you don't know what's next, if you don't have a clear understanding of what God would have you to do next, y'all be on your face before God in prayer. If you don't get it through that, you need to be fasting, because your desire ought to be, I'm preparing. I'm preparing for God to direct me. Yeah. Lastly, they wanted to overcome their circumstances. Their circumstances 40 years ago, they were under the oppression. 40 years later, even though Saul is no longer there to be the deliverer, God can deliver us. We want the victory over the Philistines now. The time of being under the Ammonites, that's all past, and Saul was the deliverer then. Now we're here, and we're under the Philistines' oppression, and we want God to deliver us now. And so they fasted for 7 days. They wanted to overcome their circumstances. They wanted to become overcomers. The Bible says in Luke in chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint, realizing that if we fail to pray, if we fail to acknowledge God, we will faint along the way. But if we will just pray and seek God's deliverance and seek God's help for victory, listen to me, you might have to add some fasting along with that, but if you pray and you fast as God would have you to, you will not faint along the way. He will strengthen you to give you the victory that He wants you to have. He will strengthen us to give us the ability to overcome whatever the circumstances are that we are facing. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. One of the most known characters in all the Bible is David. David, man after God's own heart, fell prey to sin. The sin with Bathsheba. The sin of having Uriah killed. In chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, we find that the prophet comes to David, and the prophet tells him, because of David's sin, the baby that was born to him and Bathsheba would die. Verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. You've confessed it. You've acknowledged it. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, something may be even worse than David dying. David's child would die because of David's sin. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. What an impact. Can you imagine that because of you, some other innocent child, life would be taken? And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David underlined it. Fasted. God, I change the circumstances. God, I'm crying out. I'm asking. I'm praying. I'm fasting. God, help me to overcome the circumstances I'm faced with right now. The guilt and shame would have been more than David would have been able to handle. Like most of us here with any character. To think something that I have done would cost the life of a child. Shame. Guilt. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. Look right here. And it came to pass on the seventh day. Jabesh Gilead honored God by honoring God's anointing and fasted for 7 days. David prays, fasted 7 days. That the child died. And the servant of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? He will be overcome with grief, and he'll die. He'll take his own life. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said the servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didn't rise, thou didst arise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted. That was his circumstances. And wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be great gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Circumstances have changed. David's circumstances have changed. The child is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. The help and the blessings of David, what he found in his fast was, David, you can't save the child. God is going to take the child, but you can have the understanding and you can have the awareness that even though he is going to die, you will go to see him again. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David was able to find the grace needed to overcome his circumstances. Can I tell you that God has given to us the power of prayer and the power of fasting that we might be able to overcome the circumstances of our lives, no matter what they might be? Can I tell you, for 31 years, look over the history of this church, we've been in circumstances where this church could have fallen apart. As a pastor of this church, 31 years ago, as a young man taking the responsibility of this church, in that storefront up there on my face before God, crying out, saying, God, I don't know what to do. Should we close the doors? Do you have no future for this church? And on my face before Almighty God, praying and fasting, I found that God gave me the victory over the circumstances that we were facing at that time. He gave me direction. I felt like I was drawn closer to him, and he gave me directions, and we was able to overcome that circumstance some 31 years ago that enabled this church to continue to go forward. And for 31 years, every time we've had to face circumstances that maybe the devil wanted to bring into our lives to destroy the church, we by faith look to God, and God has given us the deliverance. He's given us the victory. And we're here 31 years later to rejoice over what God has done. Can I tell you, it's just not for the church alone. It's for every individual sitting in these pews. God has given you access to him. And if you have access to God, you can draw closer to him. You can have him reveal to you the next step. And you can overcome whatever your circumstances, whatever they might be. Because God is God. Let's look to him. As a church, we must continue to look to him. But as individuals, the most important thing you can do, first of all, honor God. Do what you know God would want you to do right now. Honor God, and then fast for the answers to whatever it is that you have need of. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Pretty bleak time in Israel's history. Saul's dead. They've cut off his head. They've killed. He had to fall on his own sword. His three sons were killed with him. They're hung up. Their bodies are hung up on display for the rest of the world to view. Israel's been defeated. Where do we turn? What do we do? Men of Jabesh-Gilead, we know what we did 40 years ago. Let's do the same thing. Let's do the same thing. This morning, maybe you need to learn and do what they did. Serve the same God. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the blessings that you want to bestow upon us. And I pray right now, God, as we have presented the message that you wanted to preach today, I pray that you would take it and make application. Help people to respond as they have need to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.